Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Rouse and Roach. It's mid-November. It's freezing cold. I've got a moustache. Billy, have you got a moustache?
I mean, I have a beard, so yeah. I haven't done November this year purely because of me doing when I did the Cardiff Half Marathon. I had a purple goatee, and I'm still recovering from obviously having to shave that off because my it's not really fair on the kids if I turn up with a purple beard and expecting them to come in with their friendly, school-friendly hairstyle. So yeah, my beard is slowly recovering.
Yeah, I am doing it, but I don't think many people... Well, over the last couple of days, people have started to notice it, but I've noticed that when people come up to me and talk to me now, that they're staring at my top lip rather than my eyes or anywhere else. Because you can't see it from far away because I'm so fair, but then when you get up close... My word, people are shocked. It's not the best look either for a primary school.
But you know, you are at an advantage because you're not called William Roach and you've not got many allegations thrown at you. That's still one of my favourite things about my PGC interview is them going, "You've got the same name as Ken Barlow." I'm like, yeah, in the midst of his trial. But hey,
top shit, I guess. Yeah. Did you watch the YouTube fight, Billy?
The YouTube fight? I didn't watch the YouTube fight, but I did watch the highlights, purely because...
What highlights?
Yeah, purely because all my kids were going on about it, and one of my Year 11 pupils, they're doing an assignment at the minute, which is to do with sports leaders or coaches, and they'd chosen the two...
KSI and Logan.
No, not that their respective.
Oh, Shannon Briggs and Vidal. Something Vidal.
No, there's Mayweather. Was I'm sure one of the Mayweathers was involved.
KSI was. Yeah.
One. It was they had that. I haven't read their. They haven't had to hand it in. But when we were going around, I've picked them. I'm like, why are you picking them? And they were like, the KSI and Logan Paul. Their coaches, I was like, oh, there you go then. So
the quality of boxing was absolutely appalling, but I have to take my hat off to them. They were very... To do six rounds...
With no head guards and everything.
I'm surprised that neither of them got knocked out just because of the head guards situation. I've never boxed before, but I imagine not very
and
nice being smashed in the head.
With the, you know, there was the illegal punch and stuff. I thought, fair play for KSI staying up. You know, a lot of people probably would have been knocked out from that.
Yeah.
The illegal, you know, where he held his head down and punched him. Yeah. But yeah, no, I didn't have much interest in it. I did have it written down for one of our podcasts when we were doing the news segments as one thing we could have discussed. That and I don't know if you noticed a few weeks ago, Tyson Fury was in the WWE.
Oh yeah. That was quite funny though.
So I know they were two things. I think they were being hyped up around the same time. It was just funny seeing him on BBC's main page, Tyson Fury, in his outfit as he was trying to get over with the fans in Saudi Arabia. But I didn't. But did you watch the? I know you're not massively into American football, Tom, but this Seattle Sea. Seagulls beat Seattle Seahawks.
Imagine they were called the Seattle
Seahawks. beat San Francisco yesterday for their first loss of the season for the San Francisco. So they're 8-1 now. So that's something you should probably go and watch.
Yeah. Well, maybe when I've got nothing else to do.
Which... Yeah. But there's the highlights there, which are they're. You know,
must
10 minutes long.
Check them out. I will tell you, Billy, you don't have access to the analytics, but 100% of our audience live in the UK. So unless you're sharing it with your
American
friends, save the American chat, because nobody's interested.
Today's going to go well for me then.
Well, I like learning things, so maybe I'll find it interesting.
Yeah.
But... there's something else I was going to ask you. Oh, yes. Just after we signed off last week, Billy, Chelsea 4-all against Ajax. Talk me through your thoughts, feelings, opinions.
So I think we had a little... After we signed off and we were chatting for a bit and I missed the first 5 minutes. And within those first 5 minutes, there was two goals. So I'd missed the Ajax first goal and then the penalty afterwards. But I think that is, without a doubt, the craziest game of football I've ever seen. It was ridiculous. I know we were texting back and forth. I don't think you were watching it, were you?
No, I didn't see it, no.
But watching it live, me and my dad were there going, what the hell's going on? But they had the two red cards and the penalty.
And both centre-backs being sent off, weren't they?
Well, I said, when both of them got booked, I was like, one of them's going off at some point in the game. Just because the ref, I don't think the ref did a very good job of the game. Especially when there was 4 minutes added on after all of that as
That's something that is creeping into football a lot, is the added time. We could do a whole episode of what needs to change about football.
And stuff. But I can understand why the goal was disallowed, because the penalty and the red card was given for a handball, which was slight. And then they disallowed the fifth goal for Chelsea for a similar. So you know, Ajax could argue that we shouldn't have had a penalty, but at least we didn't get that winner through that handball. But then when you compare that to the handball on the weekend for,
oh man,
that was But Jeff Sterling was. I've just seen a clip of him going absolutely crazy, saying that he should be scrapped, and asking, is it Mike Dean who's in charge?
No, Mike Riley.
Mike Riley going, come and have a chat, what's going on? Because those four blokes, you know, talking about the Latis and the other guys on the panel, going, they all played and they can't understand why it's not a penalty.
Yeah.
And so VAR still, like I said before, causing massive controversy and debate.
But perhaps Chelsea's fantastic comeback is down to their fantastic fines structure that's been leaked today. Have you seen that, Billy?
No, I haven't.
It's been all over Twitter and Instagram over the last couple of hours. I'll read you a couple of the highlights. The biggest fine that Fat Frank has put on.
I thought you said fines. I thought you meant they've been like their scouting system.
Oh, no. Well, they can't sign anybody.
That's what confused me.
So have you seen the fines list?
No, give me the
no,
fines.
No, okay, so the highest one is £10,000 fine for not reporting an illness or injury before day of or 1 hour 30 minutes before training.
That sounds like something we have in teaching.
Yeah, you get fined $2,500 for being late for a match day or first team departure. Late for reporting time for training, $2,500 plus $2,500 for every 15 minutes thereafter.
Wow.
Late for team meetings, £500 per minute. I read it wrong. The late for start of training is $20,000 fine.
Wow.
And they have to be paid within 2 weeks. There are 12 things, and then there are some internal rules as well, which I'm sure you can check out on Twitter as well.
I've
seen it on Sport Bible.
I might have to start doing that with my kids in school.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be loaded, Billy.
I'll definitely be able to go travelling very quickly.
Yeah. So, into the main show then, Billy.
Yes.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. We're talking about the worst teams in the history of sport. And if you want to suggest any, you can contact us at RouseRoachPod on Twitter or RouseRoach.pod@gmail.com on emails, etc. I know that a couple of people watched it on YouTube this week, and that's why our listeners on other platforms are available. But we are on almost everything now, I think. What am I talking about? iTunes, Spotify, Acast, other things.
Yeah,
it's available.
Just Google us. Google us and you'll find us.
Yeah, Rouse and Roach. So, but there's a couple of two comments. A friend texted me and somebody put it on YouTube. The only comment we've had so far is when I said, oh yes, I know who Michael Jordan is because he was in Space Jam.
Yeah.
So we've made it, Billy.
We'll have to edit that. That can be our intro now. Yeah. You can have that.
Set it as a ringtone. Right, so the worst teams ever in the history of sport, Billy.
I'll kick us off, shall I?
Yeah, go on.
So, as you've just mentioned him, there is a link here to that. I saw that comment and I managed to tie it into this week. It's the Charlotte Bobcats, an NBA basketball team, in the 2011-2012 season.
versus the Mighty Martians.
no, but this team was is owned by, can you guess, Thomas?
Is it LeBron James / Michael Jordan?
Yeah, it's Michael Jordan. He is. So he's Michael Jordan, when he became owner of this franchise, as they're called in America, he became the first former NBA player to do that. And that was the season before this all kicked off. So I know, as you mentioned, or as you were talking about before the podcast as well, all of our fans are in the UK, so hopefully this will interest them, because they are, it is an American sport, but hopefully it does spark some interest. So the 2011-12 Charlotte Bobcats season was the eighth season of the Charlotte Bobcats in the National Basketball Association, which is the NBA, and the 22nd overall season of an NBA basketball in Charlotte, because unlike in Britain, where more often most teams stay where they are, they don't get pulled up and moved massive distances, these guys easily move from place to place. They'll hike a whole team up and move them across. So well, that comes into play later on, okay? So the Bobcats failed to improve on the previous season's record, where they won 34 and lost 48. Okay, so they had what's known as a losing season. And they set the record for the worst winning percentage in a season with a 0.106 winning percentage, surpassing the 1972-73 Philadelphia 76ers 0.110 for the worst winning percentage. So
they must play a lot of games then to be able to have a 0.1.
Yeah, so the Bobcats clinched the worst record in that season by losing 104. Sorry, that's the scoreline. They lose. There's if I look at the quick math, so it's about 80 games they play in a regular season, and then they go into the playoffs.
Right. I'm sure that if the 2011-12 Premier League season continued any longer, Wolves would have also had a similar win percentage.
Yeah, it's it is mad. But the season that they've that this season in particular was a shortened season. Hang on, I'm thinking I'm jumping ahead. Am I crossing paths? I might be crossing paths, actually. I'll read on, because I think I'm jumping ahead of myself. So the Bobcats clinched the worst record in NBA history by losing 104-84 to the New York Knicks on April 26, 2012. In a shortened season or otherwise, because there was what's known as a lockout. So there was a strike between the players and the owners in regards to pay and other such things. So they reduced the length of the season, quite a bit. So they didn't start, I don't think, until the December, whereas normally they start, I think, in October. So it just there was a knock-on effect to the whole season. But regardless, they still ended up with the worst record. And during the last minutes of the final game, Michael Jordan wasn't in the stands, but he was shown on the Jumbotron, as they are called in America, and was greeted with a swarm of boos. So it wasn't a good time. So they finished that season with the worst record, like I just said. And then the following season, they finished 21-61, so the second worst record in the league, which was the second worst record in the league. So they're getting even worse.
And MJ's still in charge.
MJ's still in charge. He's still in charge.
Do people call him MJ, or is that too confusing?
No, you are right. He is MJ. You know, you've obviously been researching.
Man. Me and MJ.
You and MJ are on first name terms now, are you?
And he had that stretchy arm.
So then, he did. That famous scene. I was actually talking about Space Jam today with my kids, because we've just changed over to basketball. But anyway,
it's one of the great films.
It is the greatest film. Maybe not, but yeah. But then in 2013-14, with a host of new players and coaching staff, the Bobcats clinched the playoffs for the second time in their franchise's history. However, they were knocked out straight away in the first round. But Going back to what I said at the start about Charlotte Bobcats, May 21st, 2013, Jordan officially announced that the organisation had submitted an application to change the name of the franchise to the Charlotte Hornets for the following season. So they were that bad that they decided to change their name. And then the NBA announced that they had unanimously approved the rebranding, which would begin in 2014-15, and they would gain the... Because there was another team called the Hornets, so which were not the original Hornets, and they would gain their history.
Like MK Dons and Wimbledon.
Yeah, so they've done that.
So did they improve then after the
So they
the
have
Hornets?
They have slightly improved. They're not so they're currently, when you look at the overall rankings, for I'm sure you've a couple of times looked at, people have looked at the all-time Premier League table. So if you did that for the NBA in the regular season, because once the playoffs start, it's like a knockout competition. And you can look at rankings for that, but this, they have the fifth worst record overall, with a win percentage of 0.441, behind the Brooklyn Nets, the Grizzlies, Los Angeles Clippers, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. So they're not a great team and haven't done, but they are starting, you know, to rebuild. I think Jordan has brought in a new coach and new staff, like I said, and the benefit of being a poor team in American sports is you do get to pick, you're the first team to pick the young players coming through. So it does. So
I don't get that.
Yeah,
I suppose it helps the league. Really.
It balances
the team finishing 17th in the Premier League gets to have, Sergio Aguero.
Yeah,
they're going to play better next year.
It is. You know, it does benefit them. But yeah. But yeah, they were just for pure. You know, I had one club which, well, I had one American sport with, it was just a season, and then I have got another one later on, which is just a terrible team.
Okay.
But anyway, over
so,
to you.
Over to me. So from very American to then very English, we're going to take you back to 1913, Billy.
Ooh.
Before the First World War, and a game of cricket that was lost to the centuries. Are you all right? Is there somebody there?
No, I'm going to just get my plug.
Oh, okay. I'll wait a second.
Yeah, sorry. Just because I can...
You're listening to Billy changing his plug.
Right. I'm going to risk it. There we go. Okay. Should be plugged in. Right, do you want to start again?
I'm going to change the way I started it, because unlike you, Billy, I didn't look at like a whole season of a sport. I looked at individual moments where teams were just absolutely atrocious.
Okay.
But this hasn't come from professional sport as well, so I don't know its legitimacy in our discussion.
Okay,
but, it is absolutely terrible. So it's a game of cricket that took place on Whit Monday. In 1913, May the 25th, 1913.
So just to clarify, you don't remember this happening?
No.
Okay.
Not quite.
Just
no.
Carry on.
It was a game between Glastonbury CC,
okay.
Famous Glastonbury, and Langport CC.
Okay.
Glastonbury batted first, and they were bowled out for a measly score of 80. Which, all right, that's not the
8-0, yeah.
Bit. 8-0, yeah. So a team, if you bowl a team up for 80, you think, oh, we're in the game here, we've got a chance.
Yeah.
Langport go into bat, they lose a couple of early wickets, no danger. Still,
no danger,
you know?
As we saw in the summer, you can recover from that.
Yeah, 67 all out, you can still turn it around and win the game. They're 0 for 2, 0 for 3, 0 for 4, 0 for 5, 0 for 6, 7, 8, 9... And then all out for 0.
All out for 0.
Sorry,
is this just to clarify, is this a test match?
No. This is a village game of cricket. It's not a professional
game of
cricket.
It's the equivalent of a one day. Yeah.
No, this is my level of cricket, Billy.
Oh, right. So how many? How many overs is it a time frame that they normally have?
Okay. Sorry. I'd imagine it doesn't say, I'm looking at the scorecard now, it doesn't actually say how many overs were involved, but I'd imagine that it was probably 50.
50, yeah.
50
so,
overs
yeah.
or so.
And that's typical of a one-day cricket.
Yeah, so it's about about a day.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're there from 11 o'clock till 7 o'clock
okay.
or something like
that. Well, that was the plan anyway.
Yeah. yeah. So they, you know, this is in 1913, mind, so they didn't have... You know, they weren't able to cover pitches and things like that that they are now. And even at our level, you can have a dry pitch because you can keep it dry all through the week and stuff like that. So it was, they could have been playing on basically a park.
However, however, Glastonbury, I'm guessing at the time, I can't take this as a fact, but I'm guessing
the
they're not the best
on,
team in the world, and they've managed to get 80 off this absolutely atrocious pitch. They've managed to get 80 off this pitch.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say something about the festival. Yeah, that it was a fallow year. That's why they were struggling. There were sheep on the pitch.
They were. Well, I'm not going to say what they were. They were drunk and hungover.
Yeah. Well, but the strangest thing is, usually with cricket, and particularly at village level, that you'll have what are called extras. So if you bowl a wide or a no ball, or you know, or the keeper misses it and the team runs, you will have runs. People will score runs definitely.
Yeah.
But that didn't even happen, so it was very, very peculiar. But then as I was researching then, because obviously that is very, very amateur, I was looking at a couple of, and it was a long time ago, the most recent one that I could find of the same sort of level, it was the Wirral Cricket Club back in 2014. They got bowled out for three.
Yeah.
And one player avoided getting a duck, and he was... you know, I think he scored one, and then there was two leg byes as well. So that was a pretty awful game. But I remember playing as a child against a team. I played for Wolverhampton CC, and we were playing against a team called Streatley, and we bowled them out for three. And I remember we'd batted first, and we'd taken it really seriously, and we'd scored like a decent score, like 150 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Off our 20 overs, and we were feeling really confident, thinking, yeah, I think we've probably got enough here. And then a couple of wickets fall. But it's funny in cricket that as soon as one or two wickets fall, and if your best batsmen go out cheaply, it makes the rest of the team just think, oh, God, we cannot do anything here. Yeah, so in this game here with the Wirral, they bowled the other team out. I can't find the other name of the team, but they bowled the other team out for 108, and they said we were feeling pretty confident and we're going into bat, and then get bowled out for three.
Oh,
it was
wow.
terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah.
So they're my my cricket suggestions, Billy, because... but they're not. I did look at the test rankings, but obviously when you're talking about international players, they are able to score some runs. But the lowest test match score is about 20. I think it's 26 from New Zealand back in the 1950s. But we did see a couple in the test match against Ireland in the summer.
Yeah.
England got bowled out for 85, which is incredibly low for a test match.
Yeah.
Then Ireland built a lead. Then England were batting again on the first day, and then... I think they set Ireland a target of about 300 to win, and then they bowled them out for 38.
Yeah,
so
which is
things like that will happen in international cricket, but
you
never get a score of like three.
But then you look at that; they are, you know, you have got your top level. You know, they shouldn't get bowled out, but then you have got, you know, someone who can have an absolute stormer and
well,
once they're in that groove and stuff.
Yeah, Australia famously bowled out for 60 in 2015 Ashes by Stuart Broad, 8 for 15. When you're right, once a bowler gets on a roll and gets his tail up and bowls, gets a couple of wickets, things very, very easily tumble.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's the same at international level. If you see the best batsman getting out, you think, oh God, we're screwed here. If they can't even face it, then we're doomed.
Yeah.
So, Billy, go on.
Okay,
take
so
us back
we'll
to America then.
We'll go from bowling to pitching. we'll go to my other American sport just to get them out of the way, I suppose, because the last one is pretty close to home in a certain sense. So I've gone for the Pittsburgh Pirates from the Major League Baseball. So from
I think you should make up the names like you did with the Seahawks, Eagles,
Seattle Seahawks.
Seahawks.
They are the Seattle Seahawks.
The Pittsburgh penises.
yeah, the Pittsburgh Pits. A little background. Major League Baseball is made up of 30 teams, 29 from the US, one from Canada. The teams play 162 games each season. Five teams in each league advance to a four-round postseason tournament that accumulates in the World Series. As we were discussing last time, Tom, you were mentioning about how you don't really understand these World Series sort of things. So that's why I've included this bit, just to bulk it out a bit to educate you. And it's a best of seven championship series between the two league champions, and it dates back to 1903. The National League and the American League were formed as separate league entities in 1876 and 1901 respectively, and after cooperating but remained legally separate entities beginning in 1903, the leagues merged into a single organisation led by the Commissioner of Baseball only as recent as the year 2000. So it's this, even though they've had the two separate competitions and then they've done the equivalent of the Champions League, they're now under one bracket, which is probably the similar to UEFA, but that's only as recent as 2000. But anyway, back to the Pirates. So they're an American professional baseball team based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, founded in 1881, and the franchise has won 5 World Series championships, which is, you know, they've actually gone on and won something. Yeah. But like we said earlier with the American sports, it's easy to go from the bottom to the top or the top from the bottom pretty quickly. They're currently
the Wolves.
They're currently the joint third oldest club in the Major League Baseball with St. Louis Cardinals and Cincinnati Reds. The Chicago Cubs and Atlanta Braves are the two clubs which are older than them, and they were founded in 1876. Okay, just keep that in mind, that they are the third oldest, because obviously that does come into play when we look at the overall rankings as well. So they are from 1882 to 2018, the Pirates have an overall winning percentage of 0.504, so obviously one being the highest. You know, obviously it goes down, so it's a 50% winning percentage, so they're 10th overall. That's in all the teams. So because they're the oldest as well, so I've looked at, so the teams that have played over 20,000 games, they're 6th out of 8, and then for teams that have played over 10,000 games, they're 10th out of 16. So that was since the
American League was formed. They don't sound too bad at the moment, Billy.
They don't. However, the Pirates currently have the longest World Series appearance drought in Major League Baseball, so among any team with at least one appearance, their most recent showing being their victory. So when they went and won it in 1979, so they haven't appeared in the World Series since then. Mm-hmm. And after a run of regular season success in the early 90s, winning 3 straight National League East Division titles, because they split it, obviously, they struggled mightily over the following 20 years. They, from the year 1993 to 2012, they had losing seasons for 20 consecutive seasons. So they were basically lost more games than they did won, which is the longest such streak in American professional sports history. So, as we were saying earlier,
if you did that though with like a team like say Everton or West Ham. In the Premier League, they probably have had more losing seasons, but I think the Americans make more of.
However,
like
we said in the basketball one, though, it's different because by having a losing season, you're actually more likely to get the better players.
Okay, I understand. So you should be.
So it, because they benefit because you. They're recording these losing seasons, they should be able to select the best players. But they're just being terrible at either selecting or they're trading players and then not keeping them. So they're just performing awfully across the board. So for 20 years, they've, like we, you know, you could, like you say, look at Everton and clubs like that. But because of the way the American leagues are set up, they should be picking up better players and being able to. Because going back to basketball, one of the other worst teams in basketball was the Golden State Warriors. Before their period of domination now, they were terrible. But because of that terrible period, they've now flipped it and now they're just winning title after title after title. Whereas in Pittsburgh Pirates, they've not been able to do that. However, in 2013, they finally broke their 20-year losing streak, winning 94 of their games and having losing 68, and then qualified as the wild card for the National League. They advanced to the National Division Series, where they lost in 5 games to St. Louis Cardinals, But they have made the playoffs both in 2014 and 2015, losing both times. So they have improved. Okay. However, they are, I would say, probably one of the worst teams in baseball, purely for that 20-year period where they were just losing and not being able to get out of their slump. But since then, they've managed to hopefully turn it around.
Okay, I'm going to take you to a team then that's been bad for nearly 30 years and don't look like they're ever going to turn it around, Billy. I'm going to take you up to the Highlands of Scotland.
Yeah, this was... I think when we both automatically went to this team.
Listening to the Football Ramble, they love this team and they adopted them as their team. Yeah. Fort William, in the shadow of Ben Nevis in Scotland. An amazing story. And last season in particular, because so the story goes that five games into the season, they hadn't won a game.
Mm-hmm.
They put forward an ineligible player and was deducted 9 points. They ended the season on minus 7 points. So they drew two games and lost the rest of them. Outstanding. There's a documentary actually that's been made about them, which I haven't watched, which would have been good for me to give you more context. But they won a game this September, 882 days after their previous win against Clackenacuddin. So whoever they were, they must be absolutely ashamed.
Can you just pronounce that again, just in case we didn't catch that, Tom?
It's Clackenacuddin, but it's not. It's obviously not that. But I can't read it.
You can't read it properly.
They have been going as they're not a professional team. I think they're a semi-professional team.
Mm.
They've got lots of players on loan from Inverness, Caledonian Thistle, and then one random. I think he's Hungarian. Looking at the flag, yeah, he is Barna Tott. So how on earth he's ended up in Fort William playing for them? He must be terrible. I mean, I hope they don't listen. I'm sure they won't.
That was our one fan. You've just lost our one fan.
Sorry, Barna. They've had some incredible seasons as well. If you look back to the classic 2008-09 season, they ended with 1 point.
soaring there.
They have had seasons where they've managed to get up to 40 points twice. Their record points tally is 43. In the 1991 season. But yeah, it's just been a steady decline since then.
Since we were born, it's worse and worse and worse.
They've got a capacity... The stadium holds 1,800. Mm. And it is... looking at the picture here, it's very, very picturesque. I really want to go and watch Fort William, and I'm sure that lots of other people do because of seeing this story over recent weeks and months. And hopefully... And I think it's possible with football for a Scottish millionaire to think, oh, do you know what? That would be an amazing story to take from the worst team in the world up to, you know, maybe reach the Scottish league at one point. That'd be pretty good. But
I think
they struggle as well because of the sport of shinty. Is the main sport, which is a bit like hockey.
Okay.
So that's why football's on the back burner. I haven't checked how good their shinty
because they whack each other's shins, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I haven't checked how good their shinty is, but if their shinty is one of the best in the world, then, you know, it's understandable that
balances
football
it out.
Has got to be the worst, yeah.
Okay, so going from Scotland, we'll stay close to home. I've gone for a rugby league team. Which are known as the West Wales Raiders.
When you text me that, I assume that was like your school team or something like that.
I hope not, even though, well, despite... I'm not going to go into too much detail, but we've been consistent this year in school. That's all I'm going to say. We've been consistently doing below average.
Didn't you win a game 12-1 or something? Oh, no, your rugby team.
Rugby team. Yeah, not our other sporting teams. Our rugby team have been consistent this year. We'll leave it at that. So, the West Wales Raiders. Now, I've heard, looking across the internet, some are saying they're professional, some are saying they're a semi-professional club. So, I'm just going to say they're a rugby team which is based in Llanelli, Wales. That was following a move from Merthyr Tydfil. So, just for those of you...
Just for Yeah, for people who don't know, that's miles and miles away. It's like moving Newcastle to Southampton.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but yeah.
No, okay. Norwich to Birmingham.
Yeah, they play in League One, which is the third tier of rugby league in the United Kingdom, which is why a professional team, I don't know how the structure of the league system in rugby league is. And the club was 2009... as the South Wales Scorpions, initially playing in Neath before spells in Caerphilly, Mountain Ash and Magsteig.
What do they call them? The Harlem Globetrotters?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're... because that was, just to sidetrack, the team that the Harlem Globetrotters play, because they play the same team, there's always someone who plays the Harlem Globetrotters. They have, I think, the longest losing streak in sports because they obviously lose every single game. So I was going to put them in, but
you should have picked them, yeah.
But it's a bit, it's a bit, I think...
A bit mainstream, is it?
A bit mainstream, yeah, a bit too mainstream. But anyway, the club was rebranded to South Wales Ironmen to coincide with the move to Merthyr Tydfil in 2017. And then in July 2017, it was announced that following a takeover, the club will be relocating to Llanelli.
Do they play at Parker Scarlets?
Play the remaining home matches at Stebon Heath Park. So they moved to Merthyr in 2017, and then in the summer they moved again. So just to
rugby league is a summer sport as well, isn't it? They play over the summer months.
Yeah. So from 2018 they were known as the West Wales Raiders, and the name of the club is based at Stebon Heath. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Last season, so the 2018 season, the West Wales Raiders finished this season winless with a record of 0-20. Because in rugby, you can only win or lose because they'll go into...
Even for a league game.
Rugby league, I think they just keep playing, I think. Yeah, I don't think there's Oh, it's very unlikely that there'll be a draw. However, the Rugby Football League also imposed a 4-point deduction after the club pleaded guilty to breaching a number of operational rules regarding field and ineligible players, so they ended on -4. So similar to the previous team.
Yeah.
The lowest point of the season of that season was when they conceded 266 points in the space of 2 weeks, losing by a reported world record 144-0 to York City Knights and then 122-0 to the Bradford Bulls. So,
well, I've heard of the Bradford Bulls, so they, that...
Well, you can tell me how good they are, but if they're winning 144, losing 144 and 122...
Well, they're like the Man United of... Well, I can't say Man United anymore, Man City of rugby league,
of rugby
the
league.
Bulls. They're the team. Yeah,
they weren't obviously as good as the York City Knights, who beat their score by 22.
Well, people raise their game, don't they, when a big team comes to town?
They played York City Knights and thought, right, they obviously had a dressing down, guys, we can't lose.
We're not going to make the same mistakes again.
And they managed not to. But anyway, then this season just finished. They finished once again. West Wales Raiders finished once again at the foot of the table, but they did have a win. They recorded a win, which was registered at home against the Coventry Bears. And that was all over... Well, not all over the news, but, it was wildly reported across local Welsh. It was... Because it was the longest losing streak, I think, in Welsh history or something like that. So their grim losing run spanned 43 games, and in total they leaked 2,871 points. And that
2000.
Was
season
in the two seasons since their rebranding in 2018.
Gosh.
So since they've been rebranded,
I'd consider another rebranding.
So similar to the Charlotte Bobcats, who rebranded their team to get away from their history. Maybe that's why they keep moving from place to place. Because like I said, they played in Merthyr, Neath, Caerphilly, Mountain Ash and Magsteig, and
like,
Llanelli.
It's like in the Victorian times, if people would have an affair or something, then they would change their name and move to a different town.
So I thought I'd pick like we said, the rugby union, it's a bit more difficult because of the rankings and stuff. But then this, when I was looking up you know, I was thinking, I was like, oh, how can I look stuff up? And I was looking at winless seasons and imperfect seasons, and these were the three teams which stood out to me. Like, we had the 2020 season losing streak for the baseball team, and then the Bobcats were there.
I'll take your... I haven't got a third one, to be honest, Billy, but I've got a couple of honourable mentions that I think we should briefly discuss. But there's reasons why these can't go in, because there's a reason for why that they are so bad.
Okay.
So the first one is a Belgian rugby team,
okay,
a rugby union team, who lost 356-3.
Okay.
Royal Kitturo, they're called. The story goes that the referee didn't turn up, so they thought, oh, the game's off, so they all went home. Then they got fined for coming, because they were late turning up to the match then, the actual team, because of the referee. Then they refused to play, so they stood still and let this team score 356 points.
Okay.
I don't know how they managed to score the three, because surely they must have engaged at some point and won a penalty.
Is there a penalty try? They have to kick to restart a play. So whether one of the kicks managed to go over
a drop goal,
or whether there was I don't know. I can't tell you.
There is a video footage of this game as well on the BBC Sport website. So it's worth checking out just to watch people stand still. And I'd be disappointed as well with 356, because they weren't sprinting over the line, Billy. They were taking it very, very easy as they were going over. The other one is American Samoa 0, Australia 31 in football. The reason why this can't be included is because the format of the competition meant that the American Samoa team could not travel from American Samoa to Australia because of various visa issues and things like that.
Okay.
So they sent basically an under 16 team or something to play against an Australian team in a competitive qualifier. So they obviously wanted to win. And I'm just reading now, it's the first time that Oceanic teams had the opportunity to qualify for the World Cup since 1966. So they were taking it very seriously. Archie Thompson scored 13 goals on that game, but it shouldn't really count because you've got all these
youngsters,
teenagers who it was terrible.
But anyway, never win anything with kids.
Exactly. And the other one that can't be included but is very funny is the Madagascan champions, who won 149-0 again in football, which beat the Arbroath record, which was 36-0 in 1985, but it's been since wiped from the records because, like, when you're not having a good time at FIFA and you just pass it back from the kickoff and you score own goal after own goal just because you're so annoyed at how bad you actually play the game, that's exactly what the Madagascan team did. It was very funny, but then I think because of the nature of the game.
Yeah, there was something to do with the ref, wasn't there, or something before and stuff.
There's so many stories about African games where they have to win by 14 goals on the last game of the season, and miraculously they do, because there's all sorts of corruption amongst the referees like that. But it's very funny to look at that. But let's move on then, Billy, to our quiz. It's a different kind of quiz this week because I can never be bothered to put one together. So we're going to have three questions each.
Yeah,
I think I've got three. I have got three.
Yeah,
we'll take it in turns then, and whoever wins gets 3 points, and if we draw, we get 1 point.
Yeah. So obviously, it's the first time I was doing this quiz, so this could be massively one-sided. So this could potentially be the pre-season warm-up, just so that we can gauge how difficult in terms of questions we're looking for. Because obviously, I could go really, be really mean and just give you questions I know you're not going to get.
Likewise, so you don't have a clue about.
My three questions that are all to do with football, purely because I think that was the fairest topic to pick for you.
Oh, that's nice of you, Billy.
But you're going to be horrible to me now and give me loads of random sports.
I might change one of my questions if I can work out a question for this, but go on.
Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You can go first, Billy.
Okay, so who became the first player to score in four different FA Cup finals?
Ooh. I think that it. Four different. So I reckon it's going to be an Arsenal player. Or is it Cesc Fabregas?
No. Are we take? Oh, okay. Are we first answer announced?
Yeah, it's good. You'll have to be first answer. Yeah.
Okay. It was. Pogba.
Oh. I thought it might have been Fabregas because he played for Arsenal as well.
No, yeah. No, Drogba, he didn't. I think he scored something ridiculous. He was every FA Cup final. I think I remember him scoring in near everyone. I think by the end of it, people were just not accepting bets, probably. Just purely because he scored on that many of us. Go on.
Okay, then. So, question one for you, Billy, is it's quite a long question, but I'm reading it off the Guardian website.
Oh, okay.
England have been fined around £2,000 for responding to the hacker with a flying V before their Rugby World Cup semi-final. However, the England players said this week that their V formation did not exactly go to plan. What had they planned to do, Billy?
That's a very good question.
I'll give you some options, shall I?
Yeah, I was going to say, because there's not a one-word answer.
No, there's not a one-word answer, but, I mean, it was on national media, so I thought
you
might
see. Yeah, I have, because I know they managed to, like, try and engulf them or something, but go on, give me some options.
So, option number one, they planned to sing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, but they chickened out. they plan to bow to the New Zealand players, but hadn't agreed when to start the bow, so ended up just standing there.
Okay.
C, they were meant to form a semicircle, but the players stood in the wrong positions. And D, they were going to hold hands, but they decided against it at the last minute.
I hope it was the first one.
They plan to swing low, sweet chariot.
I reckon they did the V. I'm going to go with the semicircle.
You're absolutely correct, Billy.
Yeah. Purely because of the way that the New Zealand formed.
Yeah.
It was in a point, and it looked so much better that England then replicating that point. So it visually looked so much better. So whoever decided to change it to a V was good on them. Yeah. Whoever that was. So yes, I got a point, yes. Yeah, moving on then. Another football question. Which English goalkeeper made his World Cup debut at the age of 39?
Kyle Walker. I'm only joking. That's not my proper answer.
I was going to say, I'll read the question again, but then I thought, yes, actually, go on.
Yeah. World Cup. What's his name? Shilton?
No.
Oh,
David James. Because he didn't.
Christmas Day. Yeah, I know. 2010. Yeah. I remember it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, not really. Right, this one's just for you, Billy. You'll probably get this one. Chelsea fought back from 4-1 down to draw 4-4 with Ajax last week.
Oh, my.
Who were the last English team to get a result in a Champions League game after being 3 goals down? Was it A? I'm not going to tell you because it's going to be too easy. Go on.
Is it Liverpool?
Yeah.
I was panicking then because I thought, has some other team done?
I was looking at the options were Leeds, Newcastle, Blackburn, or Liverpool. I was like, everybody's gonna know that it was Liverpool.
Yeah. Whereas if you'd have put in Arsenal, Man U, Tottenham, you know, it would have been Leicester. Putting Leicester in would have been a spanner in the works purely from just the point of view of they've been in the competition more recently.
I don't think you'll get the next one, though, but, you know, I think the game... Well, the game's gone, hasn't it? Two more down with one to go. I'm just playing for pride now.
You're just playing for pride. You are playing for pride. Do you want to give me my next question? Or would you rather have your next question?
I'll have my next question, please. Right.
You should get this, Tom.
God, don't say that.
Which two Portuguese players have scored Premier League hat-tricks? So there's two.
Ooh, I know this. I do actually know this. So the first one and the main one and the most important one and the best one is Diogo Jota.
Yes.
And the other one must be Cristiano Ronaldo.
It is.
I doubted myself for a second that there might have been, I don't know, somebody else. I can't think of any Portuguese players that don't play for us.
Oh, yeah. No, that's...
Ferreira.
Well done. You got one right. Well
Come
done.
On.
Go on, right. Give me my last one, hopefully.
Right, Billy, if you get this wrong, you lose 2 points, okay?
No.
So, why have Hemel Hempstead Town postponed their National League games against Weymouth and Chippenham Town later this month? I'll give you the options because it's not fair. So, A, is it because the weather forecast is bad and their groundsman is on his honeymoon? Is it B, the ground is being used to host a Christmas market? Or is it C, three of their players are on international duty? Or is it D, the team are off to watch England's games at Wembley as part of their Christmas party?
Can you read them out again? Just because... Is that that first so one in particular?
So the forecast is bad and the groundsman's on holiday, on right. his honeymoon. Christmas market, international duty, three of their players are at international duty, or the team are off to watch England's games as part of their Christmas party.
I'm going to go with the last one.
You would be incorrect, Billy. It's actually that three of their players are on international duty. Craig...
Does it give you where and who?
Yeah, I'll read them out to you. Craig Barham Barrett, shout out to him if he's listening. He's been called up to represent Montserrat.
Okay.
And Ricardo German and Tyrone Sterling, I believe brother of Raheem, have been called up to represent Granada. So they've had to postpone two fixtures.
So only because three players have been called up?
Yeah, well, Wolves used to have... Because League One doesn't have an international break, but Wolves were allowed to have their international break because we had, like, Dave Edwards and Matt Doherty. Well, Matt Doherty didn't used to go then, but, like, we only had one or two going away, but we were allowed to not play.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I suppose when you're at National League level, three players going out is quite a huge...
Yeah, no, squad. I suppose so, yeah. No, yeah.
So fair play to them.
Well done. Can you, just out of pure interest, do you know the team that Jota scored his hat-trick against?
Of course I do, Billy. I was there. I nearly cried. I also nearly got spat at by Jamie Carragher.
Is that the game? Oh, this is brilliant. So you know you'll know the scoreline and everything.
Yeah, Leicester City 4-3. Wolves went 2-0 up. Then I think he went back to 2-2, did he?
I don't know.
You got it there? Yeah, and then... 3-2, 3-3, last minute, Jota, 4-3. And then Wolves still sing about that day to date because we now sing Nuno, oh Nuno Santo runs down the wing for me because he ran down the wing and celebrated with the team when we scored. And then he got sent off and everybody moaned about it because Klopp didn't get sent off when he went on the pitch against Everton. But anyway,
it's
time to find out what our topic is next week.
Oh,
Billy.
Yes, I forgot about this.
So I'm going to generate the number and it is a number that we haven't had yet, Billy. It's number 14, and it's the best finals of all time.
Ooh. Is that, are we doing across all sports?
Yes, all sports.
All sports.
I'm going to put something on you, though, Billy. Not an American sport.
Oh, yeah. Are we going a one-off game, then?
Yeah, final.
It's rather...
As a compromise, I won't mention the Cricket World Cup final again because I think I've mentioned it in two of the previous episodes.
No, yeah, because what I meant was going back to the American sports, just because obviously it's a series of games. But
You can choose the last, like a deciding game in a series.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a best of three, you can choose the third game that decided it. Like that. Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
So we'll sign off for this week. If you do want to get in touch, please do.
Yeah.
Because nice when people do.
Yeah.
And if you do listen to this podcast, then send it to somebody else. And
It's easier now. Now that we're on iTunes, I think I've got it's easier for you to download and subscribe. Whereas I think before when we were on various other platforms, they're quite difficult for people because they're not used to them. But yeah, hopefully we'll get on a few more and keep going. We'll have two fans by the end of the week.
Oh, we can dream. Right, anyway, thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.